Welcome to Gemara Markings. Shir is Bava Kama Daf Chof Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's Shir. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material access by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to Option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the Shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins a bit more than halfway down from the top, 23 lines from the bottom of Daf Chof Aleph. The Gemara opens with a quote from the Mishnah, Ketzad Mishalemes Ma Shenenes, and the Mishnah went on to say that if an animal eats Mitzidei Horechava from the sides of the main plaza, a public area, so Mishalemes Ma Shezika, then the animal will pay in full, as opposed to eating from the middle of the Rechava, the middle of a public area, then the animal owner pays only what benefit the animal receives, not the actual value of the foodstuff that it ate. On the side of the Gemara, under our topic heading, we have, under the Nosei is the topic heading, in the margin we've written, Machlokis Rav Shmuel, we'll see a disagreement between Rav and Shmuel, Mosai Oimrim, Shebeglal Achila Mitzidei Rechava. Under what circumstances do we say that as a result of the eating of the animal from the sides of the Rechava, Mishalemes Mashe Zika, will the animal owner pay full damage, Tashlum Malay, full payment? So we also have some markings that draw our attention, a Roman numeral 1 and then later a 2 in a crown shape. Under the Mivne heading, also in the margin, we have Shnei Lishonos, two versions, the Machlokes Rav Ushmuel. Additionally, within Roman numeral number 1, you will notice an Aleph and Beis. That indicates that there are two versions within the first presentation of the Machlokes Rav Ushmuel, the first version. So it's two versions within the first version. So now we take a look at the Gemara. Omar Rav, Uve Machzeres. We take a look at Rashi. Rav says that full payment will be made if it's Machzeres. So Rashi says, Omar Rav, Uve Machzeres. Rashi, about halfway down the page, Rosha, means it turns its head, May Rechava Letzida, from the plaza, the main public area, to the side. Shel Rechava, to the side of the Rechava. The ochla peros, and in that fashion it ate the food. Kotoni masnisen, the Mishnah says the mishalemes mashaziko, that you are to pay full damages. Afagav de kulo kaima berachbo, even though the behema itself, the animal itself, is standing entirely in the public area. And we noted earlier in the Mishnah that an animal that eats while in the public area will pay only mashinanis, the lower rate. In this case, we have a novel point that even though the animal itself bodily is standing in the public area, but it's turned its head to the sides and is eating from there. We continue in the Gemara, Ushmuel Omar Afilu Machzeres Nami Potter. Given the circumstances of Rav, Shmuel says there would be exemption from paying the full rate. Since the animal is still standing in the public domain, it's normal for an animal to twist its head to the sides, and as such, since this is normal behavior, it remains an offense of Shein, and Shein in the Rishus HaRabim is exempt, as we've seen quite often in the past. The Gemara asks, Ulishmuel Hechi Mishkachas Lo Demachayev, according to Shmuel, then under what circumstances was the Mishnah speaking when it says eating from the Tzidei HaRechava pays full damage? Answer: Kegon deshavkisa the rechava viozla v'koma abetzidei rechava. The animal bodily left, shavkisa means it left the rachba, and it's standing entirely on the sides of the rachba. We're using a literal translation when we say tzidei rachba, just for image purposes, not for halachic purposes. I would suggest something along the lines of a raised walkway, a sidewalk, as opposed to the main thoroughfare in which transportation takes place, or the masses will assemble. So you have a raised area on the sides. We call that Sidei Rachba. And I'm saying that only for illustrative purposes. So Rashi adds that Sidei Rachba is characterized as follows. She'ein derech shvorim l'leches sham. Hilkoch lav kishus harabim domi. It's not normal for oxen to walk on the Sidei Rachba. So if the animal bodily, entirely stands on the Sidei Rachba, that will reduce the payment rate when it eats from Mashizika to the contrary. That will elevate the payment rate from Mashinenes to Mashizika. Since it doesn't have the status of Rishus HaRabim, it's not considered Shein B'Rishus HaRabim anymore, which carries with it, exemption or lower rate payment, but rather it takes on the characteristic of being a type of Shein Rishus HaYochid. Even though it's not literally Rishus HaYochid, it nevertheless is not Shein Rishus HaRabim. So as the Mishnah says, he will pay full damage. Now another version. V'ika demasni lohashmaitza ba'ape nafsha. There are others that teach the disagreement between Rav and Shmuel not as a comment on the Mishnah, but as legal statements of their own, Rav and Shmuel on their own. Machzeres. The situation of Machzeres, where an animal is standing in the public domain and twisting its head to the Tzidei Rachba, Rav Omar Chayeves, Ushmuel Omar Ptura. Rav says that the owner is going to be obligated to pay full payment, and Shmuel says he is exempt. According to Shmuel, now we make reference to the Mishnah, not in Shmuel's initial comment, as far as this version is concerned, but now we ask, according to Shmuel that says that Machzeres is exempt from full damage because the animal is still in the Rachba, where do you have full payment made according to Shmuel, where the Mishnah said if it eats from Tzidei Rachba, it pays full damage, while at the same time Shmuel saying that the Machzeres scenario, where it twists its head to the Tzidei Rachba, does not result in full payment. So how do you have it? Heichi mishkachas lo demachayva. Where mishkachas means, where does it come out that, or where do you find it that it, the owner is chayav? Answer: Kagon deshavka l'rachba v'yozel v'koma v'tzidei rachba. Just like we saw before in the Aleph version, here Shmuel answers the question by saying the animal stepped upon the Tzidei Rachba entirely. It left the Rachba. Shavka, it left the Rachba and proceeds to stand entirely on the Tzidei Rachba, which is not the normal way of animals in terms of their placing themselves. The act of eating is normal, hence he pays full damages. Mosiv Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Rav Nachman will be asking a question on Rav. The Tanaic source quoted, which we find in our Mishnah, Mipesach Hachanus Mishalemes Ma Shenenis. If an animal eats from the entranceway to a store, the owner will pay the lower rate, the Ma Shenenis rate, not full damages. Heichi Mishkachas Law, how are you to understand this? What are the circumstances? Pshita b'machzeres. It's obviously a case of machzeres, where the animal is standing in a public thoroughfare, and it's eating, it twists its head and eats from the entrance of the store. The Komer Mashinenis, and the Mishnah rate is Mashines, Mashinenis in Mashizikolo. Only the lower rate, not the full amount, as Rav would have said. The same one that raised the question, Rav Nachman Yitzchok, he answers it. Who moisiv law, v'hu mefarek law. He raised the question, and he resolves the question. The question had been, how are we to understand the Mishnah and not have it as a refutation of Rav? Dekaimo bekeren zovis. We take a look at Rashi. A few lines up from here, there's an illustration in the Rashi that will accompany this, but the Rashi begins, the Kaimo, Chanus, the store referred to in the Mishnah, where the lower payment rate is made, is where the store is standing, Bekeren Zovis, at a corner. Kagon, Movui Kotten, Hakolo, Bemovui Godol. You have on your illustration an aerial view of an alley that that's termed Movli Cotton, a small, alley, we said, and it leads into a large area, Movli Godol. The Kaima Chonus Beroish Movli Cotton, Umoshuk Sasklap Ipnim. The store is positioned close to the area that the Movli Cotton enters the Movli Godol, but withdrawn a bit into the Movli Cotton. When the animal is walking from the large area, the Mavui Godol area, to the Mavui Katan, the animal runs into the fruit that is positioned at the entrance to the store in its normal course of walking. No twisting of heads. Delav machzeres hi. That's not a case of the animal twisting its head to eating from the sides. So, since it's in its normal path of walking, there the lower rate is paid. We, of course, understand from this that it's normal for animals to walk in these areas. We turn back to the Gemara. Ika di Amri, another version of the discussion between Rav and Shmuel, another version entirely, is that Machzeres Kuleyama Lo Pligi de Chayeves, as opposed to Roman numeral number 1, where Machzeres was the topic of controversy, both in versions Aleph and Beis of Roman numeral number 1. In Roman numeral number 2, Machzeres is not the subject of their disagreement. That's Kuleyama. Shmuel as well agrees that you will pay full damages. It's not considered reshus harabim, and therefore full payment is made. Ki pligi, the disagreement between Rav and Shmuel will arise in the following case. B'mekatze moko mereshuso l'reshus harabim. V'hochi itmar. First, what does mekatze moko mereshuso reshus harabim mean? A person had a piece of property that bordered literally on the public thoroughfare. He withdrew into his property, in effect, giving over from his own property to the public, so that he mekatze, for our purposes. Well, actually, let's look at Rashi. You'll see the same idea. Right across from here, Rashi says, "B'mekatze mokom shekines." He withdrew l'soich shelo bona, and after withdrawing into his property, there he started to build his house. So there's a large, let's say, front lawn or front piece of property that's flush with the public thoroughfare. V'nich mikarkos shus harabim, and he gave over from his land to the public thoroughfare, v'shotach sham peres, and spread out fruit over there, v'nichnas sham behema derech hilucha v'achlosan. And since his front piece of property is not gated off, it's not separated in any physical form from the public thoroughfare, the animal wandered onto that area and ate the person's fruits. Now, the Gemara continues. We said, and Vahachi Itmar, and thusly, the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel was stated, the Omar Rav, Lo Shanu Elo Machzeres. The obligation to pay for full damage is if the animal was standing in the original public thoroughfare and twisted its head to eat from the area that was originally the private domain of this individual. I apologize for the mistake. Let's once again, Omar Rav, Lo Shanu Ela Machzeres, the halacha of paying in full for an animal eating will apply in the case of Machzeres, as we described earlier. Avol Mekatzim Mokum Yushus L'Shus Rabim Ptura, but an animal eating from upon this area that the person donated or dedicated or gave over to the public, eating from there will not result in the owner having to pay full damages. Ushmul Amar Afilu Mekatzim Mokum Yushus L'Shus Rabim Chayeves. Even where the person had given over his domain to the public, it still retains an element of private domain, and therefore the owner of the animal will have to pay full damage. The Gemara now asks a question in an attempt to relate this disagreement between Rav and Shmuel with another topic, and to suggest that Rav and Shmuel will argue concerning this new topic. Before we continue in the Gemara text, we glance at the side. We have a subtopic heading. Nisayon, an attempt. Lahamid machlokes shel Rav u'Shmuel, Belishna number 2. The machlokes Rav and Shmuel that we just saw concerning the case of Mekatze Mokom Yerushus L'Shus Rabim, and say that their argument here will be manifest as well, Gam be'inyan bor b'rishuso, concerning the topic of a pit in your private location. V'hainu, what do we mean by that, a pit in your private location? Shechofer adam bor b'rishuso, a person dug a pit in his own property, v'hivki b'rishuso, and then abandoned that property, the surrounding property, v'lo hivki boro, but he did not abandon ownership of the pit. Let's say then an animal falls into that pit. Ha'inu chayev al nizke bor kozeh. Does the owner bear culpability in a case of an animal falling into a pit like that? So you have a common theme of an area that was originally private and then given over to the public. And in this particular case, we mentioned we're going to discuss the damages of a pit. Now the Gemara. Lema bebor birshuso komiflagi. Shall we say that the machlokas Rav and Shmuel will appear as a machlokas as well concerning this case? A person dug a pit in his private domain, which everyone has a right to do, and then he abandoned his ownership of the surrounding area, but not abandon ownership of the pit. What would paralleling the machlokas Rav and Shmuel to this case result in? It's as follows. Rav, the Omar Potter, Rav who said above that the animal owner, in the case that it eats fruits from this former private domain, now part of public domain, the owner is exempt. Kosovar, Rav would then take the opinion that bor birshuso chayov. If an animal would fall into the above described pit, the owner of the pit will have to offer compensation. And anyone who would to take possession of such a pit would be zoche. Let's take a look at Rashi on this. Lema Ravu Shmuel b'choifer bar b'shusav v'hifkir b'shusav lo hifkir bar komiflegi. Ubeplukta de Rabbi Shmuel v'Rabbi Kiva, and what we are describing now is actually an older machlokes tanoim between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva. The pligi bar lekamon v'perek shor shenoga kasapora, which appears in one of the later prokim, one of the upcoming prokim, the Rav Savar Chayov. Rav would say that the owner of the pit is Chayov for damage to an animal that falls into it. Umishum Hochi Ptura Hach Behema. And because of that position, that the owner of the pit is culpable, is an outgrowth of what Rav is saying over here, that the owner of the animal is guilt-free in paying for the fruits. Dezeh sheshotach sham peirosov, havei lei kamo bor, the person who spread out the fruits in the case of mekatze mokum yeshuso yeshuso rabim, was in effect setting up a bor. What do we mean by a bor? A bor literally is a pit, but it's also something upon which someone could stumble. And fruits lying out in an area where people or animals are walking poses a danger. Shim huchluko bahen behemo chayov. If an animal would slip on those fruits and be hurt, the person who put out the fruits there would be chayov, would be bound to compensate. Sharei hifkir rishuso. After all, the person had abandoned his own property. Hilkach lo hoya lo lasos kain. Therefore, he should not have spread out his fruits over there, posing a danger to the public. The kaimo menichas akad, and we hold in the third perek of this masechta, hamenichas akad, that's the name of the perek, kol hamekalkulin b'shus harabim, anything that poses a danger to the public, in a public thoroughfare, sheziku, that caused damage, chayovin l'shalem, the owner of those items has to compensate, v'chol ha-machzik bohem zocha, and anyone who takes possession of it has a right to it. Therefore, Rav, who said, in the case of mekatze mokay m'rishus l'rishus harabim, the owner of the animal that eats the fruits is exempt, it's based on this concept of kol ha-machzik bohem zocha. Anyone who takes them has a right to take them. And at the same time, those fruits that would cause damage, they would be causing damage as having the identity of a pit, of a boar, and the owner of the boar has to compensate. So we want to say right now that Rav, who said there's exemption in paying for the fruits, holds that in the case of boar birshuso, Chayav, the owner of the pit, would have to compensate, just like we just explained regarding the fruits. The owner of the fruits, if the animal got hurt on it, would have to pay the animal owner. And if the animal ate the fruits, he has a right to take the fruits. And therefore, Rav, who said above, the owner of the animal is exempt from paying for its eating of the fruits, would hold this halacha of bor b'rishuso chayav. We continue in the Gemara. Ushmuel di Omar Chayav. Shmuel said regarding the fruit consumption that the animal had no right to eat the fruits, and therefore full payment will have to be made. Kosavar bor b'rishuso poter. He would take the side that says that the boar in the parallel circumstances that causes damage would not be culpable to compensate the animal owner. So our question then simply is, shall we make this parallel from the positions Rav and Shmuel have regarding the consumption of fruits to the law concerning the boar that causes damage under these similar circumstances? The Gemara responds to the question. We said, can we make the parallel? And here we have a long answer marking. Take note of that. Omar loch Rav. Rav responds and says, the oilam eim aloch. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. Bi'alma, I will tell you in general, that bor birshuso poter, that the above mentioned, the aforementioned case of the boar, the owner of the boar, if damage happens, will be exempt. That boar is not considered a boar in a public domain. Well, if that's the case, then why, if it's not a boar in a public domain, which is the kind of boar, of course, that the Torah will hold you responsible for, then why will the fruit consumption not cause the owner of the animal to pay full damages? Why does Rav say potter on the fruits? V'shayni hocha, the case of the fruits is different. The Omar, the owner of the animal, can say to the owner of the fruits, Lav kol kaminoch demakrifis l'peirosech l'shesarabim u'mechayvis l'hu l'turoiv. It's not for you to draw your fruit so near to the public thoroughfare only to have my animal responsible, so to speak, I as the owner of the animal, responsible to pay for its eating of those fruits. So that even though the area is still technically considered a strictly private domain, you nevertheless had abandoned the area, put your fruits over there, baiting my animal, so to speak, to eat those fruits. I should not have to pay for that. Ushmuel Omar, ba'almo bor birushuso chayov. Shmuel can very easily say that in the case of the boar birushuso, the owner of that pit will have to compensate. And that it's very much like a boar in a public domain. Well, if it's like a boar in a public domain, then why, regarding the fruits, does the owner of the animal have to make full compensation? After all, those fruits we described earlier as being like a boar, and we said something that causes damage in a public area, anyone who takes them has a right to take them for himself. So why does Shmuel say that you're obligated to make full compensation for the fruits if Shmuel is willing to say that bor birshuso would be chayav on the grounds that it's like a bor in a strictly private domain? Correction. On the grounds that it's like a bor in a public domain, if the bor birshuso case and damage happens as a result of someone falling into that pit, the owner of the pit will have to compensate. That's like a bor, that's like a pit in a public domain. So the fruits that have the, we'll say, bor status, why in the world would Shmuel say that you have to pay full compensation for the fruits? So Shmuel explains, the Bishlam Abor, regarding a pit, Ikola Meimar, Lav Adarte. The animal had no clue, no awareness of its being there. The boar is dug from ground level down into the ground. The animal couldn't watch itself, didn't have any warning. And therefore, the owner of such a pit, even though it's as a result of it being in a public domain, the animal had no clue, and therefore the owner of the pit has to compensate for damage. Eloperos, but fruits are piled on ground level up. True, the fruits are considered in a public domain sense. However, mi ikol lemeimar lava daite, can you say that the animal was not aware of its approach to the fruits? Ho chazi lehu, the animal could see them, and the owner of the animal should have kept his animal away from eating them. We take a look at the Rashi on the third line from the top. The bishlam abor ikol lemeimar lava daite deshor linturei nafshe mi bor. We understand that we couldn't expect the animal to ninturi nafshi, to watch itself, to keep itself, to protect itself from the pit. V'kevon debrishus nifnas, and since the animal entered that area legally, so the owner of that area and abandoned his ownership of it to the public, Therefore, Chayev Balabor, the owner of the pit, is responsible. Avon Peros, but fruits, etc. Rashi goes on, Ha Kochazi Lahu. He could see them. Vafilu Huchliko Ben Potter, even if the animal had slipped on those fruits, the owner of the fruits would be exempt from compensating. V'afa gav de kol takola bor, who, even though we say that things that pose a the danger to those that are walking is considered a bor, hanimili brishus arabim. That's when you're dealing with a full fledged public thoroughfare. The ain lo rishus lo se shom takola. Person has no right to place stumbling blocks in a public thoroughfare. In this case, this was property that he originally owned on a personal level. So even though he withdrew into his property, leaving the front lawn, so to speak, accessible to the public, it nevertheless doesn't mean that he doesn't have a right to set up fruits there. And as such, it's not considered the fruits are not considered a full-fledged bor b'rishus harabim, and therefore Shmuel says you will have to compensate for, the owner of the animal will have to compensate for the eating of those fruits. The Gemara now asks a question, lema machzeres tanoihi, shall we say that the case of machzeres, which we've seen already several times, the animal standing in a public domain and twisting its head to eat from the sides, are we to say that that issue is a machlokas tanoim? We've seen already in Roman numeral number 1 on Omen Aleph that it was a machlokas Rav and Shmuel. In Roman numeral number 2, we saw that the issue of machzeres was not a point of disagreement between Rav and Shmuel. However, we want to know now, is machzeres, however, a disagreement between tanoim? Desanya. And what we have now, a Tanaic source in which we have a machlokas tanoim. It says, "Ochlo mitoch harachava mishalemes mashenenis." An animal that eats from the middle of a public area does not pay full damage; it pays only what it benefited. Mitzidei harachba mishalemes mashezika. Divrei Rabbi Meir of Rabbi Huda. If the animal eats from tzidei harachba, then full compensation must be made, and that's the opinion of the two Tanoim, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Lozer, Omrim, Ein Dark Olecho Elo Lahaloch, or Lahalech. The way of an animal is not to eat, but rather to walk. Well, if you say that, if it does eat, then it will have to pay full damages. The Gemara asks, Rabbi Yossi Hainu Tanakama. Is it not so that Rabbi Yossi then is saying in effect the same thing as the Tanakama? Now, in order to appreciate this, how do you see that? So we look at Rashi. Rabbi Yossi Hainu Tanakama. The Rashi we're looking at is where we left off before in the Rashi, the upper part of the narrow lines. Rabbi Yossi Hainu Tanakama de Kosalka Daitoch. The thinking right now is the Lav Atoch Horachba koi Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi's comment is not referring to eating mito horachba, de leboi lechive, where he would want to hold the owner of the animal obligated to pay full damage. We already know that the penalty of shame of eating is only if it's steacher private domain, not in a public domain. So Rabbi Yossi's comment then must have been Ela Atside Rachba Koi. Rabbi Yossi must be referring to a case of the animal eating from the Tside Rachba. Dihein Darko Lechol Ela Lalich. It's not the way of an animal to eat, but rather to keep walking on. Vizu Sha'achla, this animal that ate, Chayeves, is obligated to pay for eating from the Tside Rachba. Then it would come out that Rabbi Yossi is not saying anything new. And now that can't be. If you have a Tanaic source in which there are, let's say, multiple opinions presented, so there must be an argument. So what is going to be then the point of difference? So we have a marking, a house marking, and on the side of the Gemara, we have a structural note, Mivneh. And it reads as follows. These are Nisyonos Lahazbir This brice that we just read needs to be explained. What are they arguing about? So we continue in our Gemara text, and notice we're still in the middle of our long question. Elo machzeres ikobinayu. Rabbi Yossi can't be saying the same thing as the Tanna Kamma, as we pointed out. So what is the point of difference? The case of machzeres is going to be the point of difference. Tanna Kamma sover machzeres nami mishali mashin enes. The Tanna Kamma would take that opinion, that side, that says that even machzeres pays the lower rate, mashin enes amount, not the mashehezika full amount. Rabbi Yossi sover mishalemes mashehezika, and Rabbi Yossi would say that machzeres pays full damage. Let's take a look at Rashi. Machzeres iko binayu. The Shaminon, that is a reference to Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yossi heard the Rabbi Meir, the Omar Betzidei Harachba Mishalemes Mashezika, going to Oslo Vekoma Betzidei Rachba, that when Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yuda in the Tanaic source said that eating from Tzidei Rachba pays full damages, that's because the animal went and stood entirely upon the Tzidei Rachba. Avo Machzeres lo. But Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda would have told you that Machzeres doesn't pay Ma Shezika, Vikom Rabbi Yossi. And Rabbi Yossi, in response to that, says, Ein darko lachsi rosho v'lechol el alaloch. An animal does not have that, doesn't practice that. It's not its derech, it's not its way to twist its head. Elo laloch, but to keep walking. V'zushich zero v'yochlo chayebes. And an animal that does twist its head to the Tzidei Rishus HaRabim and eat has to pay full damage, as opposed to what Rabbi Meir would have said according to this approach. So if this is the case, if this analysis is true, then Machzeres becomes a Machlokes Tanoim. The first opinion, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda say not guilty of full compensation, and Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Loza are saying yes, guilty of full compensation. The Gemara says lo, that's not the analysis. The Kulei Alma Machzeres, as far as the case of Machzeres is concerned, all Tanoim will agree I Karavi Kishmuel, like one or the other, but not that they argue concerning Machzeres. Either like Rav, and we saw Rav in the Roman numeral number 1 saying that Machzeres will pay Mashezika full damage. And what the Gemara is saying here is that, well, all the Tanaim will agree either with that, or all the Tanaim will agree with Shmuel that said in Roman numeral number 1 that Machzeres is exempt from paying full damage. So then if all the Tanoim agree, either like Rav or Shmuel, then what is their machlokes? V'hocha b'bir b'stei acher kol mifligi. And here, their machlokes concerns what the Pasuk says, that Shein pays for bir b'stei acher. The Rashi across from here says, V'hocha b'bir b'stei acher pligi, v'atoch Harachba nami mechayev le Reb Yossi. And here we have something that is very novel, very new. We haven't seen an opinion like this. The Pasuk says that you will have to pay if your animal eats food b'stei acher. What is the Torah's intention? We continue in the Gemara. And bear in mind, we're explaining the Machlokas Tanoim in the Tanaic source that we saw just above. Mor sovar ubir b'stei acher v'lo b'rishus harabim. There is, Rabbi Meir will take the opinion that you will pay for shein when your animal eats in a private domain, not in a public domain. An animal eating in a public domain is exempt. Umor savar ubir b'stei acher when the Torah says you will have to pay if your animal eats b'stei acher v'lo b'rishus hamazik, we're coming to exclude a case of an animal eating b'rishus hamazik. Now, what does that mean? So we take a look at the Rashi. V'lo b'rishus hamazik shim ichnis peirosav, a man who owned fruits, took his fruits, lechotzer balabayas shelo b'rishus, and he put them in his neighbor's private domain without permission. The ochloson b'emtesh balabayas, and the animal of the neighbor ate the fruits that were put in his domain without permission. Potter, the homeowner, the owner of the animal, will be exempt. The Gemara asks on this interpretation that b'ir b'zdei acher, the animal owner will have to pay not only when fruits are eaten, if an animal enters the fruit owner's domain, but even if fruit is eaten in a public domain. What is the case that Rabbi Yossi would be saying is exempt? If the fruit owner put his fruits in the animal owner's domain. So the Gemara asks, Birshus Hamazik, Lema Pircha Birshusi, my boy. In simple terms, that scenario is so obvious. You don't need a pasuk to tell me that a case like that would be exempt, where the owner of the animal would not have to pay. After all, the owner of the animal can say to the owner of the fruits, what are your fruits doing in my yard, where my animal is? What are your fruits doing there? I don't need a pasuk to tell me about that. So what would the Tanoim be arguing about? Elo De'ilfa v'reboshaya ika binayu. This is very, very terse. So we need the Rashi. De'ilfa v'reboshaya. De'omar ilfa liel. We saw this in our Gemara earlier. Ilfa had said, Behema sheposhtot savora v'ochla me'al gabi chaverta. This, I say, we saw earlier. In our previous shiur, we saw this, where Ilfa taught that an animal that stretches its neck and eats fruits from the back that are sitting upon the back of another animal, the owner of the animal that ate the fruits has to pay full compensation. So that's Ilfa's teaching. What our Gemara is saying is that Ilfa's teaching would be a machlokes. Udrabo Shaya, Diomar Behemo Hakofetses, Viochlo Mitoch Kupo Chayeves. Rabo Shaya taught concerning an animal that jumps upon the back of another animal and eats from while upon the other animal's back, it eats from fruits that are in a box on the animal's back. That is Chayev. So, Ika Binayu, Rashi goes on to say, the teachings of Ilfa and Rabbi Shaya will be the subject of the Machlokes Tanoim above. And Rashi spells it out for us, so let's go through the Rashi. Rabbi Meir Sovar, Mitoch Horachbo Li'olam Potter, fruits eaten from the middle of a public thoroughfare, the owner of the animal does not have to compensate full damage. Elo Lefi Mashanen, it's the lower payment rate of what he benefited. V'afilu b'de'ilfa v'reboshaya. And Rabbi Meir would say, even in the cases described by Ilfa and Reboshaya, the lower payment would be made. V'yosu Rabbi Yossi l'meimar, Rabbi Yossi comes along to say, ein darko lifshot savora al chaverta. It's not normal for an animal to stretch its neck and eat from upon another animal. It's not normal for an animal to jump upon another animal and eat. The animal's normal behavior is to keep on walking. The Islay, and Rabbi Yossi would then be the opinion, the Tanaic opinion, that would hold from the Ilfa Od Rabbi Hoshaya, from the conclusions reached by Ilfa and Rabbi Hoshaya, that full compensation must be made. We now turn to the new Mishnah. On the side, in our margin, we have a nosei, a topic heading, which reads, Hakelev v'hagdi, a dog or a goat, shekoftsu, that jump, and as a result of their jumping, damage happens, damage to vessels, mishalem nezek sholem, the owner has to pay full damage. The Mishnah, Hakelev v'hagdi, shekoftsu meirosh hagag, they jumped from a roof, from a rooftop, and vishibru esakelim, and broke vessels, mishalem nezek sholem, mipnei shehen mu'adim. They pay full damages because they are prone to jumping. And since it's a damage done in a normal fashion, it's not going to be categorized as keren, but rather as a derivative of regel. Rashi adds a detail, an important detail, in that this damage is taking place in a private domain, in the Rishus HaNizik, in the domain of the owner of those vessels. The Mishnah continues, Hakelev shenota charora v'holach legodish, an animal took a loaf, and the loaf had a hot coal attached to it, and part of it was burning hot, and it went to a godish, to a pile of grain. Ochal hacharor v'hidlik hagodish. The animal ate the charora, it ate that loaf, and simultaneously caused the godish to ignite. Al hacharora mishalem nezek sholem, for the loaf, full damage is paid. And v'al hagodish mishalem chatzi nezek. And for the burning of the godish, half payment is made. Rashi points out that this will be explained in the Gemara. Now we turn to the Gemara, which deals with the first part of the Mishnah, the jumping. Taima de koftsu. The reason for the full damage payment is because the animal jumped. Ha naflu potter. However, had the animal fallen off, we infer that there would be exemption. Alma kosovar. The conclusion that one could reach from this analysis is as follows. Where circumstances that initially represented irresponsibility, pshia's irresponsibility, in other words, the owner of the animal had his animal at a point at which it could have jumped, and a jumping and the subsequent damage that would have resulted would be a demonstration of the owner of the animal's irresponsibility. He should have, an animal owner should consider the possibility that the animal would jump. The sofo bionis means that in the end, what in actuality happened was the animal falling off. And the inference that we just made was that the owner would be exempt. An owner of the animal doesn't need to take into consideration the possibility of his animal falling off a roof. So we are going to conclude at this point that tchiloso bepshia, where initial circumstances are circumstances of irresponsibility, but actual damage that ensues is through ones, something unanticipated, you're exempt. Tanyo nami hochi. And we have a Tanaic source that spells this out. Hakelev v'agdi shekoftsu mirashagag v'shibur sakelim mishalim nezek sholem. A dog or a goat that jumped off a roof and caused the breaking of vessels, full damage compensation must be made. Naflu pturim. And we dashed underline naflu pturim. This is what the Brisa, this Tanaic source, is bringing to the fore. That if they fell off, there's exemption. Now we didn't, the Gemara didn't pull this out of a hat, this idea of tchilasa b'pshia sofa ba'ones. This is an issue that's argued over in the third parak of Maseches Bava Metzia. There's a machlokes amoroyim concerning that. If there's a machlokes amoroyim concerning that, a Tanaic source would pose a very great difficulty for someone who doesn't agree with Chilasa B'Pshia Sofer Menas Potter. So the Gemara goes on to say, Ha Nicha L'Mandamar Tchilasa B'Pshia Sofer Menas Potter. Things are fine. Ha Nicha means pleasant, fine, agreeable to the opinion, the Amoraic opinion that says that very point, that Chilasa B'Pshia, where the beginning circumstances appear to be irresponsibility, but actual damage happened as a result of onus, there's exemption. So then this Tanaic source is understandable. Elo lamando omar chayov mai iko lemeimar. But according to the opinion that says chilasa b'pshia v'soifik b'enis is actually culpable, then why in this Tanaic source does it say naflu ptura? If the animals fall off, there is exemption. The Gemara answers, Kagon de mikrivi kalin legabi koisel, the vessels that eventually get broken were drawn very close to the bottom of the wall. The chi kapsi bekvitza lo nafli olayu. Under circumstances like that, if the animal were to have jumped, it wouldn't have jumped upon the vessels. In jumping, you're jumping at a distance from the bottom of the wall. It's jumping over the vessels, not on the vessels. So, since the Tanaic source is describing a case of vessels drawn very close to the bottom of the wall, and as we said, that upon jumping, it wouldn't have jumped upon them, v'afilu tchilosa b'pshia leka, this source does not represent a case of tchilosa b'pshia. The beginning circumstances were not one of irresponsibility. Yes, a person must anticipate his animal jumping. And Chilasa B'Pshia, according to this particular Amoraic opinion, says, even if the end result is ones, is nevertheless Chayev, but because he was emphasizing the fact that the beginning circumstances were Pshia. But if the beginning circumstances were not with irresponsibility, so then there's no reason to hold the owner of the animal guilty if the animal falls upon those vessels. Omer Rav Zvid Mishmei de Rava Pe'omim Shafilu Noflu Nami Chayav. There are cases, even according to the lenient opinion before of Chilasa B'Pshia V'Soifa Bo'ines is exempt, he will agree at times that even when the animal falls, the owner will, falls and breaks vessels, the owner will have to pay. Mishkachas lo bekoisel ru'ua. This applies to a case of a weak or shaky wall. A shaky wall is such that even regarding falling, you are, as the animal owner, you have been irresponsible by leaving your animal on atop a shaky wall. Atop a shaky wall, you should have anticipated the animal might have fallen off. Rashi says, under the Gemara text, the second line under the Gemara text, Mishkasla b'kais ruah, shemaike hagag ruah, the fence around the roof is shaky. The afilu gabi nefila avikshia, an animal could easily lose its balance and fall off. And hence, regarding falling, the animal owner is held responsible because of his irresponsibility. Let us turn back to the Gemara. The Gemara now rejects what Rav Zvid said. My nihu, what is the point that you're trying to make? De'eboyale la'suke daite de'nofal archi, that it should have occurred to you that when you're dealing with a shaky wall, that archi are bricks. Bricks might have fallen off. Sof sof lo nofal archi, the nofal inhu, and I have to point out an error on our part. we were guilty of over-explaining. We said before that in the case of the shaky wall, the owner of the animal should have anticipated the owner fall, the animal falling off. That needs to be, retracted for the time being. Rather, the owner of the animal should have suspected that the shaky wall, bricks might have fallen off, and they would have done the damage. But that's not what happened. The animal fell off the wall. And therefore, Tchilaso b'pshiyo v'sofo b'onesu. It's an example of the Tchilaso b'pshiyo sofo b'ones scenario that one opinion certainly said is exempt. So how can Rav Zvid, in the name of Rava, say that there are times that even according to the opinion of Tchilaso b'pshiyo sofo b'ones would be potter, that he'll agree chayav? That shouldn't be the case over here. Lo tzricha. So what was Rav Zvid Omar Rava describing? What is, so he says it's a case of b'kais of tsar, a very narrow fence around the roof. Rashi explains b'kais of tsar shemayke hagag tsar v'dochuk. It's a very narrow fence around the rooftop. V'chinichon b'rosh agag, when you left your animal over there, havei leila suki adaite de kaftzi amaike kedarkon. That the animal would have jumped. And lishna achrino, tsar, another version of tsar, is not narrow, but rather mishupa, sloping. And leaving your animal on a roof edge with such physical circumstances, everyone would agree that when the animal falls off from such a thing, you had acted with irresponsibility and therefore have to make full compensation. Before we continue on in the Gemara, we glance at the side. We have a topic heading which reads Oid Beinyan Kfitzos Kelev Gdi Odom Tarnagol, more regarding jumpings of a dog, a goat, a person, or a chicken. The Gemara Tono Rabbonon HaKelev Agdi Shedolgu, they jumped Mimato Lemala Turim, they jumped from a lower level upwards. They are exempt from nezek shalem, from paying full damage if damage resulted, but pay half damage. That indicates to us that it's unusual for these creatures, a dog and a goat, to jump upwards. Milamalo lamato chayovin. However, jumping from a higher location downwards and damage results, that's normal for them, and if damage results in a private domain, the owner of the dog or goat will have to pay. Odin v'tarnagel shedolgu bein milamalo lamato bein milamato lamalo chayoven. A man or a chicken that jump, whether from above downwards or from down a lower level upwards, and damage results, they are obligated to make full compensation. The Gemara asks at the top, we continue at the top of Daf Chof Beis. V'atanya, do we not have a source that says, HaKelev Agdi Shedolgu, Bein Milamalo Lamato, Bein Milamato Lamalo, Pturin? So you see in this Tanaic source, no distinction is made in terms of direction of jumping regarding the dog and the goat. And it says here there is exemption, Pturin. There is the Gra has an alternative girsa chayavin, but for our purposes the main issue in the question is that no distinction is made regarding the jumping directions of Kelev and Gdi, as opposed to what we just saw in the source at the bottom of Chof Aleph Amud Beis. The Gemara continues Tir Gemara of Papa the Apich Meipach. Rav Papa explains that things happen in the reversed form, you know, the opposite form of what you would have expected. And the case of this Taneg source using the girsa that we have of Pturim, there's exemption, is it's as follows. The way the dog jumped, Kalba bezekira, the Gadya besricha. I also want to point out that the word Pturim at this point in our thinking is exemption. In fact, total exemption. The jumping action of the dog was apich meipach. It jumped. It did jump, but it jumped in an unusual fashion. What is bizikira? Rashi says tfitza, a jumping action, and that's not the way dogs, we'll say, lunge forth. That's not the normal way of dogs. It's unusual for a dog to jump in a lunging forth fashion. The gadya besricha, a goat, its unusual form of jumping is besricha. What's unusual? So Rashi says, sricha shenayit ziponav bekoisel. It wedged its hooves into the wall. She'ain darko bekach. It's not normal for a goat to wedge its hooves into the wall and then jump umishunimheim, and therefore they're considered strange, unusual. The Gemara asks, "I hachi amai pturin?" If the jumping action on the part of the dog or the goat was in an unusual form, then why is there exemption? If unusual form damage is called Karen. Karen pays half damages. The Gemara says, you're right. Potter minezek shalem v'chayovin v'chatzi nezek. The term pturin in the source meant potter from, exempt from paying full damages, but nevertheless, yes, chayev to pay half damage, as we explain, as being a form of Karen. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.